Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Hello, Deck.
Hello there, George. You sound a bit weird. Where the hell are you?
Well, Deck, I am beaming in live and exclusive from Centre Parks. I'm on the family vacation.
Centre Parks?
Yes, my little lads, they break up a little bit earlier than sort of the rest of the,
world?
Country, yeah, on their Easter holidays. So we've come out and beaten the price increase that comes next week.
I was going to say, you could tell you made a few quid if you're going to Centre Parks in, you know, at the end of March around the Easter holidays. It ain't cheap, is it?
Sometimes,
shout
yeah.
out Centre Parks.
Shout out, I love Centre Parks. It's not our first yeah. time. So yeah, we love it here from Centre Parks. So yeah, might be a bit scratchy. I brought the mic. You know, I don't know if any of this will make the video edit. I'm holding the microphone to my mouth to get me in the zone. You know, I'm dressed for the attire. So other than that, I was sort of straddled across the bed in the bedroom. I can hear the kids, you know, from next door. They're winding down. It is a Sunday evening. I'm shattered, relatively sober to deliver some exquisite work. But yeah, microphone in hand, just in case the mic works.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of podcasts at this point with one of their hosts, or the owner, actually, the Supremo, on holiday, they would have gone, do you know what, should we leave it this week? But not us. No. You said, we're doing it. We've got too much to talk about this week. It's been a big week of boxing, and there's a big one coming up as well. So we couldn't miss it, George. We're in business. It's been a good weekend here as well. If it makes the video, on my face incredibly red. It's the last long run before the Berlin Half. We got 2 weeks till then. It was the last long one on the plan, out in the sun. Didn't put enough SPF on. But yeah, good weekend back here. We're holding the fort. Friday night.
Is this you setting up excuses for next week, saying, oh, it's a bit toasty. Yeah, I was a bit dehydrated. Yeah. My skin wasn't, you know, pouring sweat properly, and I was overheating.
No, that's not what I'm doing at all. Friday night, George, big night. It was the London finals of what we used to call the ABAs.
Yes.
So it's the best boxers in London. I went down to the Ilford Coliseum. It was a great night. It always is. There's nothing quite like those nights of amateur boxing. And funnily enough, George, as you know, the Dale Youth, your old club, had two middleweights, just like you and James DeGale, had to box each other to see who would progress to the next stage. who would have thought it? 17 years on, I believe, from when you two boxed as amateurs at the Brent Town Hall in the Northwest Divs. 17 years? I think it was 2007 when you won and beat James DeGale, the future Olympic and world champion, to progress. Two more middleweights from the Dale Youth did it, had to do it, George. It was mental. That's who, you couldn't make it up.
September 2006
was it?
Yes, weirdly, it was the end of 2006. And then after that, the next time ABA has come is to begin in 2008. Maybe something to do with the Olympics. But yes, we had
how weird is that for the boys?
Well, yeah, I've been in the gym and I've missed the last couple because I've been working and ill and now I'm away. So I've missed that fight. So thanks for going and filling me in, Deck. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of them things like, they both back themselves. They both want to have a go. But I'm hoping there was no animosity there. There was none in the gym. And I'm sure they shook hands after. So, Denzel came out on top against Aaron. But me being like the amateur coach, that's almost like their nicknames for me. Because Denzel's real name is actually Darian David
Bennett. Right? Darian David Bennett. But yeah, he did the business. He won. A very close fight. Thing is with those bouts, George, they're so fucking close. Always, there's barely anything to choose, especially when the two guys are good and they go so quickly and it's only three rounds. There's barely anything to choose. It was a really competitive bout. And yeah, Darian David's Bennett's got the UD in the end. So he progresses. One other thing I want to mention on that card. Connor Mitchell, the son of Kevin Mitchell, everyone's favourite former lightweight from West Ham. He boxed, I believe it's his first senior year. He's very young. He boxed. He beat Connor Daly, another very good talent. I think he's 23, Connor Daly from Islington. And Connor Mitchell was so good. It was such a good bout. Very close, nothing in it. Connor Mitchell got the win. He goes through. So now he's going for a national title. So yeah, hard luck to Connor Daly. But Islington did have two winners. It was a mixed night for them. Great night. Great night of boxing. Anyway, proper professional boxing as well. I say proper professional boxing on Saturday night, George. I assume you tuned in from your suite or your log cabin chalet, whatever it is at Centre Parks, as Dalton Smith boxed, had his acid test, and he passed with flying colours by stopping Jose Cepeda in the fifth round with a single body shot. It was bloody brilliant. What did you think of the performance?
Yes, Deg. It was a brilliant performance from Dalton Smith. So Jose Cepeda, he's been in there at top level now, and was up for it, wasn't he? Like as in the chat beforehand was like, you know, I've still got plenty left. This is make or break for me, which obviously adds that pressure. And there was a lot of people out there who were, you know, thinking this might be a step too far for Dalton Smith at this point, but I thought he boxed exceptionally well. I thought that was a great performance for him. Brilliant performance. I mean, it's orthodox lead southpaw and then Dalton Smith out of the orthodox stance. He just gets it spot on. Well drilled. Great discipline. The way that he just controlled the distance. You know, with his foot inside, his left foot inside of Zabida's right foot, so he's drifting round to his right, Bernard Hopkins-esque. You know, that's what I did in the James DeGale fight. You know, where amateur boxers, we're talking about, you know, the ABAs 2 minutes ago, they're always told orthodox south, make sure you've got your front foot on the outside of their foot.
Yeah.
So you move round to where your front foot's leading. So obviously, if you're orthodox, you move around to your left because your left foot leads. Southpaw would be the opposite. But Dalton Smith, he lets his foot come inside. He changes the angle of his body. So he just has an open target for Cepeda. And he just continuously dropping back when he needs to. But lightning fast with his straight shots on the front foot. And he's not greedy with it. You know, at times he's sort of springing in with a right hand and he comes back with that sort of follow-up straight stiff jab. And then he'll break away. And he was just doing that time and time again. So you can hear the commentators say, oh, Cepeda's like, he's not, well, his feet are slowed or his activity is slow, but it's all pieces of the puzzle, Deck. So to be the, I gave him the first round. I thought he started,
yeah,
and he had more about him, landing more shots. But it's part of the journey, part of the process, part of the puzzle for Dawn Smith. He's just got to check this guy, keep checking him, keep manoeuvring him, keep settling him, get him into his rhythm. At the top level, you can't do that instantly. Sometimes it does take a few rounds, and I think Dawn Smith showed that. And then in the fourth round, by this point, Cepeda's ended up following Smith around the ring. And you're thinking, a guy that experienced shouldn't be following this guy around the ring. He should know to be cutting across, you know, making the fella in front of him work. If he wants to take the back foot and circle around the ring, then you cut the ring off. But he wasn't. He was just following him around because Dawn Smith had set that up and had put together all the set pieces beforehand to get him into that state of mind. And then from then, he lands a good right hand on him in the fourth. And Cepeda's like, you know, and then the fifth round, I think that land, that shot lands again, but with more sting, and then follows it up with, you know, a solid right hand right between the elbows, straight into the abdomen. You know, whether it lands in the solar plexus, whether it lands just straight in the belly button, it was one of them shots that just sucks the life out of you. And Cepeda's on the floor, and at that point, you're thinking, as the fight left him, and this is a term that I keep thinking about now because I've had to think about it for myself. In my last fight, when I get over body shot and you think as the fight left you, and we've heard other fighters talk about it since. We've heard John Ryder recently come on and talk about the fight. You know, obviously he makes it to the final round, but the fight sort of leaving him, the desire is sort of not there. And I felt like that was the case maybe with Cepeda. He was in there with someone who had figured him out, had got the measure of him, and now hurt him to the body. And does he want to get up and get more punishment, or is he calling time when he's boxing? It's kind of how it felt. But I think it was a brilliant performance from Dawn Smith. He certainly announced himself on that big stage. You know, he'll need a few more tests like Cepeda before you let him loose on a Devin Haney or one of those guys. But he showed that he will belong at the top level, I believe. And at the age of, I think he's 25, 26 now.
Yeah, yeah.
16, 17 and 0. Now is the time. If there was a couple of lighter, as in...
Yeah, 27.
If there was a couple of world champions out there who weren't, you know, pound for pounders, then you put him in with them 100%. But, you know, some of the guys, we've got the list deck of who the champions are right now.
Yeah, well, we've got one guy who Eddie Hearn mentioned was Regis Progre,
yeah.
But I think you're right. I think realistically, he's not quite there yet. And at 27, why does he need to be? Like, Jose Cepeda's a big win. He's announced himself. I think, yeah, there's a couple more guys. The one that obviously came up and has been coming up a lot, is not world level himself, is young Adam Azim, the European champion at the weight. Now, that fight between them has been ordered by the British Boxing Board of Control and the European Boxing Union, the EBU. And the purse bid split is going to be 50-50. They haven't done a deal yet. So that means the winning purse, each boxer gets 50% each. Now, obviously, Adam Azim's name came up in a post-fight interview. Dalton Smith said, I don't call people out, but where are you, Adam Azim? Eddie Hearn properly laid it on thick as well, saying, I dare you to take the fight. I think Adam Azim is going to vacate that title personally and do something else. What do you think, George? What's your gut telling you? Do you think we're going to see that purse bid, and do you think we see Adam Azim against Dalton Smith next?
I think both guys back each other, back themselves.
Yeah.
And therefore that fight, it might just happen. There might be no one's willing to chicken out.
Yeah, and the money's big.
So Adam Azim signed to Boxer, and we had the Fraser Clark, Fabio Wardley debacle that happened, you know, not that long ago. And Fraser Clark had to come out with egg on his face, and sort of take the brunt, essentially, for either his management or the promotion or someone forcing a mandatory and then him pulling out of it. Slightly different this time around because Adam Azim is the champion, but there might be that element that of just like promoters having a bit of too much ego and not wanting to pull the fight. Because if anything, you're thinking this fight suits Dawn Smith more than Adam Azim because he is that much more older and therefore naturally mature.
He's had far more fights.
He's
as
had
well.
Far more fights. Been pro
as
a lot
in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. So the experience suits Dawn Smith, and in these high pressure fights where it's two names, two prospects, there's a lot of spotlight on this fight. Sometimes it is the guy who's got that just a bit more experience who comes out on top. So, but there's grand things planned for Adam Aziz that, you know, they're talking about him being, you know, fighting for world titles very, very soon. I'm not sure whether the Dawn Smith route is right. I think the guy who doesn't come out on top, who loses that fight, will suffer. You know, they'll be in the wilderness for a bit. You know, even if the profile is on them, just it takes the wind out of their sails, and both of them are flying high. You know, they're doing phenomenal things. So none of them can really afford a loss right now. It will take years off their career in terms of the momentum to get back. And we've seen fighters do it before. I mean, I remember I boxed James DeGale.
James DeGale, yeah.
You know, he had 10 or 11 fights. I think I had 12 fights. So earlier in our careers, similar in age, similar in experience, time, you know, between the ropes. So, you know, and James, maybe one day we'll get him on a pod to talk to him about it, but I'm sure it must have been tough. He lost a tight decision against me. He goes and wins a European title in his next fight, but he's already on the road. He had to leave his promotional team because something must have been wrong there. He felt he needed a change. And it took him a long time before he actually fought for a world title and broke through. So it's a tough one there. What do you think? Do you think we'll see it next?
I don't, because I spoke to Ben Shalom a couple of months back. No, last month, February. And I just said, what's the crack there? What's the score? At the time, I think Shane McGuigan was on holiday. And I just said to Ben, what do you think is going to happen? And he was like, well, I need to speak to Shane, etc. But he said, you know, we'll see it this year, but I don't think it'll be next. Which is much like what he said, or what happened with Fraser Clark and Fabio Wardley. But that's happened, didn't happen next. They pulled him out of the purse, but it did happen. So I think Ben Shalom's plan is that it's not next, but it will happen. I'm not sure. I'd love to see it. As a fan, I'd love to see it if they just get it on. But, you know, it's not the fans who make the decisions and they're guiding his career. I thought it was, like, glorious when you and James boxed back then, because quite easily one of you could have ducked it, but you didn't. But we'll see what happens there. We won't talk about who might win that fight. We'll wait until we see if it's even going to happen first. We got a couple more to knock through on this fight, on this card. Campbell Hatton, Elite Club member, boxed for his first title as a professional, and he came unstuck against Jimmy Joe Flint over 10 rounds for the Central Area title. What do you think of that performance, George? Obviously, Flint just, I kind of out-hustled him and just old-manned him's wrong, but he did the business. Campbell had to take some hellacious shots as well, really toughed it out. We'd never seen him do that before. So, you know, feathering the cap for that, but just not quite up to it on the night.
Yeah, I think what we saw was from Campbell Hatton, we saw, you know, a real desire to win, which if it was ever in doubt, he's got proof in the pudding there.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have that amateur pedigree that his dad had. You know, I remember stories about Richard Hatton. You know, that was who he was back then when I was an amateur deg. I mean, he's older than me, but, you know, he was a prolific junior. He won all the titles. He went away, boxed for England under 17s. I think he won gold at the Europeans and things like this. So, and he turned pro really early. So he never had, like, you don't talk about him winning ABA titles or going to Olympics or anything like that. But he had that pedigree that Campbell unfortunately doesn't have. Flint boxed brilliantly. For large spells of the fight, you know, a better pro boxer. You know, he punched neater, he punched narrow when he needed to, show great variety when he would come sort of a couple of body shots between the elbows, and then he would finish with a left hook. And Campbell Hatton at times, you know, tenacious, definitely, but wide with his body shots. Chin was coming up as he was pulling out. Flint was definitely winning those exchanges and looking the part while he was doing it. And I thought he was picking up the rounds. you're listening to Hatton, Matthew Hatton in the corner, his uncle, his trainer, and I found that quite interesting, Deck, because you know Matthew Hatton knows his boxing, and is he thinking, Campbell, you're probably not winning these rounds, but should I be telling you this, or should I be saying, it's okay, but I need a bit more, you know? Or so I didn't want to panic him too much. But they ended up, you know, I think one card had him over the 10 rounds, 8-2. So I think it'll be a tough lesson for Campbell Hatton. It might be one where he has to go back to the drawing board, but it might be the making of him as well, because ultimately, if you want to improve as a pro boxer, you go back and you watch your fights, you watch your performances, and if there are some holes and some things that you need to improve upon because it's open for you, you can see it, then you'll be forced to do that now. So, yeah, but a mega win for Flynn. You can see what it meant to him after the fight. So congratulations to him. Shame for Campbell Hatton, the ECM. We've dropped a win.
Dropped a win, yeah. But he's very young. He'll come again. I'm excited to see him back. Also, Sandy Ryan walked through Terry Harper to defend her WBO welterweight title. Great performance. Harper pulled out on a stall, I believe, at the end of the fourth. And also at light middleweight. Although Troy Williamson came in over 4 pounds over at the weigh-in. The undefeated Ishmael Davis was excellent, winning a unanimous decision. And I'm mentioning that, George, because this guy's story sounds insane. He had twins when he was like 14 or 15. He went to prison. He was late to boxing. I'm saying we need to get him on the pod. We need to hear the story firsthand. So Ishmael, if you're listening, or anyone connected to Ishmael Davis, we've done this before and it's come up trumps, get in touch. We want to get you on the pod because we want to hear that story.
What's the hardest? Boxing, prison, or twins?
Oh, fuck me. It's definitely twins. It's got to be twins, isn't
it? There's only one man who knows.
We'll get him on. Hopefully, Ishmael, get in touch with us. Okay, George, we'll have a break there because big news dropped today. Hot off the press. We're going to get into it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We're so bloody back. As we all know, on June the 1st in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol are tangling for all the belts at light heavyweight, of course, at the top of the bill. But on the undercard is Queensbury Promotion against Matchroom in their 5x5 kind of tournament undercard, which is, we've been waiting with bated breath for any news on who it might be. We haven't got who it might be, but we did hear today the weights. So we know the weights. Now, apparently what they're going to do, nobody's going to announce anyone, the fighters, until the press conference, and they're going to be unveiled for the first time at the press conference. So it's got, you know, they're going to do something cool with it. It's obviously a novel idea. We've never seen anything like it. The two promotional behemoths of this country, of British boxing, going head-to-head. Frank Warren got to choose two. Eddie Hearn got to choose two. And then Turki Al-Sheikh, the chairman of the General Entertainment Authority out there, chose the other. Do you want to hear him?
Yes.
Thank fuck you said yes, because if you'd said no, I don't know what we would have done then. We would have just shot, turned off the computer. Okay, so we have heavyweight. I'll tell you what Frank and Eddie chose between them. Heavyweight, light heavyweight, featherweight, and middleweight. And then Turki Al-Sheikh, we know he loves a heavyweight, came in and just said, I'll have another heavyweight, please. So we're going to have two fights at heavyweight, one at light heavy, one at feather, one at middle. Each promoter has to choose a boxer in each of those weight classes to fight each other. So now we know what it's going to look like. some cool looking fights that could happen. I've got some ideas of what might drop. But you happy with that? Double heavyweight action, light heavy feather, middle.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're definitely weight divisions.
They are. Last
and
time I checked.
I believe each of those promoters, Queensbury Promotions and Matchroom, have fighters within those weight divisions. So,
thank God
so,
they do.
You know,
yeah.
You're not asking Conor Benn to go up to heavyweight because like they're just doing straight heavyweights or anything like that. I mean, Conor Benn would probably be up for it. He doesn't mind what weight he fights at now.
Yeah.
But I mean, are we seeing Johnny Boy Fisher against Moses Atalma?
Well, let's get into it. Now, first of all, I believe the Turki Al-Sheikh sort of wildcard fight might just be Zhilei Zhang against Deontay Wilder. Because Zhang is a Queensbury fighter, and or at least they had options on him after the Joyce fight, so I guess he still counts as them. And Al-Sheikh said, you're allowed to sign people for this if you want, as long as they're with you at the time. And I think they're going to do a deal. I think we're getting Zhang Wilder on that undercard as part of the 5x5, which is mad fight in itself. Now, when we get into the stables, I was looking through. I'd like to see at heavyweight, if I could pick, Daniel Dubois against Anthony Joshua. I think the chances of that are incredibly slim. And I think we're looking more like Joe Joyce, Derek Chisora, something like that.
You Joshua doesn't fight on undercards, so he's not fighting on Turbiev's undercard. No. That's not happening.
I'd be stunned.
So Chisora versus Joyce. Does that excite you, Dan?
You could get like.
Does it excite you more than Wilder Zhang? Does that excite you?
It's not. Zhang Wilder does because there's massive intrigue there because like what's Wilder got left? What's Zhang, like if he hasn't, what's Zhang going to do to him? Can Wilder just chin this massive, like massive heavy big puncher in southpaw? Can he get to him? So that's I'd like that. There's people like Justice Hooney with Matchroom at heavyweight who could box like a Dubois or something like that. You could get Moses Atalma against Johnny Fisher. Like it's not going to happen. But it would be great. And they're, you know, the winner of this, i.e. who gets the most wins in the five, I guess a 3-2 or a 4-1 or a 5-0. Imagine that. They're going to have a big side bet. Even though gambling is illegal in Saudi, they've already talked about a side bet. I think it's just for lunch.
Yeah. Is a win bonus a side bet? So, you know, like, can a fighter get a win bonus?
No.
And does it count as, like, gambling?
That's not a side bet. But if... You know, if one of them has to give the other one £1 million, that's a side bid.
Do you think Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren will make more money from the Fab Five than they did from their previous Saudi shows? Or do you think this is the one where they're going to make the most amount of money?
I think they're going to make some big dosh. They've got five fighters they need to pay each. I mean, anytime they go there, everyone's getting paid. There's no two ways about it. Light heavyweight, I think it might be, I've heard, like, you know, rumours is that Craig Richards might be the Matchroom one, our ECM, our old mate Craig Richards, legend. I think he might be, and then I think he might have to fight someone like Zach Parker, who might be going up. He was obviously boxed Tyrone Zeuger. Didn't look great against Tyrone Zeuger, but maybe he goes up. Or maybe that performance against Zeuger, they've gone, can't afford to put you in against someone like Richards and get you beat. So I'm not sure exactly there. That's one I'm interested to see who they pick.
They're talking about Yard versus Bouazzi. They're trying to make that on Sky. So we're not going to get Yard out on this Fab Five. He's not with Warren anymore. Bouazzi's obviously, we don't know.
Yeah. He has been forever, his whole professional career. I don't know contractually what the score is now, but I'm pretty sure that fight... It's not on this. That's not because he's not. There's no Matchroom fighter involved in that, so I don't think we'll get Anthony Yard. But who knows? You never know. I think featherweight and middleweight are pretty clear. I would have a guess that featherweight will get Ray Ford, the new champion who won the belt last month or earlier this month in that last gasp win. I think he'll box Nick Ball, who didn't win the title at featherweight. Against Ray Vargas, I think they'll box each other. And at middleweight, I think we might see ECM Hamza Shiraz against maybe someone like Amo Williams, who's with Matchroom. I'd love to see that. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I'm hoping that's the fight at middleweight. But they've all got all sorts of people, all sorts of boxers they could throw in. I think it's exciting, though. And I think it could be... They're already talking about doing another one in September at Wembley, as what Turki Out Al-Sheikh describes as a commercial for Riyadh season. So they're not just going to Saudi now and parking it there and say, come to us. They're going to bring something. It's the first time it'll happen. They're going to bring one to London in September. So I think June will be a roaring success. I mean, what a card that is with that light heavyweight fight. And then five like proper potential headline fights on an undercard. George, on Wednesday, we've got a very special episode, a very interesting one about finally got around to small hall boxing. So if you don't know the ins and outs of small hall boxing, you have to listen on Wednesday. It is fascinating stuff with the one and only Steve Goodwin. I can't wait to hear this one, George, because I've got many questions about small hall boxing. I'm like, how the hell does that still happen? Yeah. How do they even get through it every week?
It's going to be a banger day. This is not going to be a small hall episode. It's anything but. It is enormous. You're right. You want to know everything about small hall boxing. You're thinking about dipping your toe in as a promoter. GGBC, we will start promoting soon. But we're just going to get podcast hosts to fight each other. It will be like a Saudi versus Saudi card, but it will be more you like Hackney versus Hackney card. Yeah.
Mm. But it's going to be, this is going to be a proper classic GGBC episode. Like one of what we started out this club to do. I can't wait, George. I'll see you on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday, Dave.